My name is Mike. I'm the choir director for the Boston Adult and Teen Challenge Men's Center. And as you heard, we are a 15-month minimum Christian discipleship program. We help anybody who has any kind of life-controlling issue, any issue that separates them from a relationship with God, including but not limited to drugs, alcohol, gambling, violence, all types of life-controlling issues. You know, we take people from detoxes, hospitals, from the streets, from jails, anywhere and anybody. We try not to turn anybody away. We have 7 locations throughout New England. We represent the Dorchester House in Boston. Over 250 in this country and over 1,200 worldwide. We're an international organization. You know, we started in 1958 with one small outreach center, and as you can see, it has exploded. You know, so we just want to thank you for the opportunity to come out here and share our testimonies and some worship music. So we thank you for that. And I'm going to start off with a testimony from Tyree.
Morning, church.
Morning.
My name's Tyree, and I'm 19 years old. I'm from Mattapan, Boston, born and raised. And pretty much my story is, you know, when I was young, I grew up in a good family, Christian. They believed in God, weren't necessarily born again, but they did believe. I did good in school, you know, did chores around the house, did what I was told. You see, I was a good, normal child. And as I grew up, I started to distance myself from my family more and more and more and veer towards my friends more for the comfort and the love that I was trying to find. And it was around the age of 13 where I started to use, you know, cigarettes and marijuana and that stuff. And that turned into a bad lifestyle. And just, you know, slowly but surely, I started going out late, not coming home, not telling anybody where I was. And, you know, I put my family through a lot of stress. They were worried always about me. And at around the age of 15, I decided to drop out of high school and, you know, continue to just use. And at that time, I moved out of my mother's house and I went to my grandmother's house to live with her. And you know, I just put my grandmother through a lot of stress. I would smoke in the house, leave whenever I want, get back whenever I want. And I just leaned on my own and really abided by my own rules. And it was around the age of 17, I had went to Job Corps, took up bricklaying and masonry, and that lasted for about 6 months, but I got kicked out for smoking and drinking. And at that point, you know, life just started getting worse and worse. You know, my grandmother, she was starting to not want, she didn't want me to live at her house at that point anymore. So it was around the age of, I want to say 18, I started to just live from couch to couch, couch surfing. And it was just a bad lifestyle. It was uncomfortable. You know, I didn't know where I was going in life. I didn't have any purpose. I felt as though I didn't have any purpose. I felt like I wasn't worth anything. And my aunt attends church at Jubilee, and a teen challenge choir had came and gave testimonies and sang songs like this one. And she told me about it, and she said, I really relate to those guys, and they have similar stories that, you know, what I was going through. And at the time, I wasn't trying to hear it. I was still in my old ways, you know, trying to just do me, you know, and trying to live life. And but slowly but surely, it did sink in that I did definitely need change. And I had sold my phone. They didn't have a phone, so I definitely couldn't get in contact with anybody. My mom had found me one day just walking down the street. She was crying. She didn't know where I had been for like a week. And she said, are you ready to change? And pretty much I was like, yeah. She said, you can come live with me until you get in a teen challenge. So I called up teen challenge and told me to come in. I went in for an interview. And not less than a week later, I was in the program. And the very night before I went in, I actually cried out to God. Me and my cousin, she's like my sister, we're only 4 months apart. She and I were having a talk, and she basically started crying, and she said, I didn't know who I was anymore, and I've changed, and, you know, I'm just not that person who I used to be. And it really hit me hard, because she's like my sister, you know? We were born and raised in the same crib. And that night I really cried out to God and I said, just take me and do what you want with me. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. So that very next day I ended up in Teen Challenge, and ever since then my life has changed for the better. I have gotten my GED now, thanks to God in this program. And through the grace of God, you know, I've just grown closer to my family. The restoration has been just great. My mom reads the Bible more now. She was never really too, you know, affiliated with the church life and stuff like that, but she goes more often now with my grandmother and my aunt, and she reads the Bible more. I just feel as though I'm sort of a vessel for my family. Once I was the black sheep of my family, now I'm trying to bring them closer to God. And just all the praise to God. I've been here for about a year now. If you would have told me a year ago that I would be standing in front of you guys giving my testimony, I would have been like, you're crazy. And you know, I really like it. It's a good change. I got a band of brothers with me who just love me and encourage me and keep me going when times are rough and when I'm under stress and stuff. And the scripture that I stand on is Psalms 31, 11 to 13. It kind of like portrays my life before I came in. It's because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors and a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery. For I hear many whispering terror on every side, and they conspire against me and plot to take my life. Thank you.
Good morning, church. How's everybody doing today? Good. My name is Brian Mahoney. I'm from a small city in upstate New York, about an hour north of Manhattan. And I was raised in a Catholic household, but I always knew of God, but I didn't really know God. You know, I didn't have a personal relationship with God. But growing up, I was in a great family. You know, which is a very common misconception, is that addicts and thieves and people like us are always from a bad family, you know, and it's not always the case. You know, my mother was worked in the local school, my father was a police officer, so growing up we had a very structured household, and I was just an all-American kid growing up in a nice neighborhood. I had a lot of friends, I played a lot of sports, you know, I was just doing normal things that kids normally do. But growing up through high school, everything was still normal, you know. I played football. I had a lot of friends. The extent of my partying was a little drinking here and there, but nothing too serious, you know. I had very high hopes for my futures going on and throughout high school. When I went away to college, I went to a small university in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, and that's where things started to take a turn for the worse, you know. I got a little freedom. I got away from my parents, you know, and I just started to make my own decisions. You know, mom and dad weren't there for me anymore, and I had to make all decisions on my own. And I started to smoke on a regular basis. I started to never go to class. I didn't want to really do anything besides party. And I had fun, but I had a little bit too much fun, you know. So things just progressively got worse. I never went to class. I just slept all day, partied at night. And so I made the decision that I was just wasting my money and I didn't want to be there anymore. So I decided to come back home and try to attend a community college. When I went home, I went to community college and I just realized that school just wasn't for me. I didn't like it at all. I didn't do any assignments. I didn't go. I hardly ever went, you know. So I decided to just drop out altogether. I figured I was wasting my money and I could find something better to do with my time, go make money, get a job, you know. So I got a full-time job working a physical labor job, putting up fences. And I was home now and all my friends were away at college and stuff, doing their own thing. And I was home by myself. I had some friends, but not really friends, just like acquaintances, you know. So I started working full-time. And I got introduced to painkillers around the age of 18 years old. And at first, it wasn't anything serious. You know, I do them every once in a while. I didn't really think anything of it. But as time went on, I got deeper and deeper into painkillers. And eventually, I couldn't get up without having painkillers in me. I'd be physically sick, and I wouldn't be able to work. So one morning, I was getting up for work, and I went downstairs, and my sister and her friend It looked like they were both sleeping on the back porch. So I called out to them to wake them up. It's like 5 a.m. So I called out to them to wake them up. And my sister's friend wakes up, but my sister doesn't. So I go out there, splash water on her face, you know, try and get her up, but she's unresponsive. She won't get up. So I run inside, and I get my mom. They call the ambulance. And luckily, the ambulance got there in time to revive her. But seeing her lifeless there, it was really hard to see. And amazingly enough, that wasn't enough to get me off drugs. In active addiction, it takes a lot to get you off drugs, and that just didn't do it for me. I continued to use for about 2 more years. And actually, after she did that, she actually came into Teen Challenge, the Teen Challenge in Providence, the women's home. And she was a complete atheist before she went in, didn't believe in God, didn't believe in religion, didn't believe in anything. And the change that I saw in her is a testimony in itself, because now she's a God-fearing woman and loves the Lord more than anybody I know. So I figured I would give it a try, because it worked for her, so why wouldn't it work for me, you know? And I've been in the program for almost 4 months now, and God is working miracles in my life. He's restoring my relationships with my family. He's just doing so much in my life, and if it wasn't for His grace, I wouldn't be here today, you know? So I'm forever grateful to God and for His never-ending grace and never-ending mercy in my life. And the scripture that I leave you with today is Jeremiah 29:11, and it's, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." Thank you.
Hello again. So I'll share a little bit of my testimony. I'm trying to switch it up from the guys that we had in the first service, because I know there's some of you that were here for the first service. But like I said, I'm Michael Torrey. I'm 31 years old. I'm now the choir director for the Boston Men's Home, but that wasn't always the case. You know, like you heard Tyree say, like if you had told me when I was about to come into this program that I would be standing up in front of a church directing a choir, like giving my testimony, I would have said that you were the crazy one, you know, but here I am, through God's grace and mercy and His plan, here I am, you know, and so I try to testify to that. But I grew up in a hardworking family. I had both my parents there, a big family. I'm one of 7 children. I have 4 older sisters, one who's since passed, and 2 younger brothers. And we were, you know, just a crazy family, a lot of kids running around. My house was where we had all the parties and all the barbecues and cookouts. And so we were a tight-knit family. We still are. And, you know, I was raised in love. I was raised all the morals and values you should have, to be hardworking, to be kind and caring and look out for one another and blood and bonds and all that. And somewhere along the line, I just took a hard turn in the wrong direction. You know, it was right around 8th grade, and I started rebelling against parents and authority, police officers, counselors, anybody that had my best interest in mind. I started to rebel against and turn from. I started to hang out with those kids that were just doing whatever they wanted and skipping school and smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol and all those things that come along with it. And I thought that was what I wanted, and I thought that was where I fit in. But little did I know, I was just trying to fill that emptiness and that hole that I had that I didn't know how to fill. Because I wasn't raised in a Christian household. I wasn't raised in a God-fearing household. I had a praying grandmother. I had a father that was brought up Christian, but I was left to my own devices in that area, and I wish I hadn't been, you know. But my parents, you know, kind of let me do my own thing, and left to my own devices, I wound up in some dark and scary places. You know, from the point in 8th grade where I had picked up those cigarettes and alcohol, fast forward, you know, to the age of 29, and here I am, you know, back, separated from my family, like, again, like, this is a recurring thing, like, I'm separated from my family once again, from that good family and that good neighborhood. I'm in, like, one of the worst neighborhoods in Brockton, scrapping to get by, living with 5 or 6 other people at any given time in a hotel room, doing things I don't want to do with people I don't like in places that I'm scared of, you know, and it brought me to a point where I was suicidal, I was violent, I was out of my mind, even those other people like me didn't want me around because I was bringing too much attention and too much heat. And, you know, I wanted to die. I wanted to die every minute I was awake. And it was scary, you know, and it was at that point, like, sick in a hotel room by myself, that I cried out to the Lord to take my life, you know, not knowing exactly what I was in for, you know, but he had his plan, you know. And the day after that, I wound up walking into the church in Brockton. It's Brockton AG. It's the home church of the Brockton Center. I didn't know that. I had never been in a church in my life. And here I am with a pastor praying for my salvation. You know, a pastor who I had recently run into a month ago or so when I was back in Brockton. And he didn't even recognize me, you know. I'm a changed man, you know. And it didn't happen right then, but, you know, a few months later, through God's direction and his plan, like, I wound up at the Doors of Teen Challenge with nothing but the clothes on my back. You know, my mother gave me a ride to Boston. You know, I hadn't spoken to her in weeks. And I was broken. I was broken. I was crazy. I was out of my mind. You know, but they were there. That program was there. They opened their doors to me. They brought me in. They got me all the things I needed. You know, it got me back on my feet. They it's a rigorous program. We start in the morning with prayer. We end at night with prayer. And in between, we have Bible studies and choir practice. And just it's a busy, busy day over there. But it was those things that I needed, you know, to build that relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I'm proud to proclaim him as my Lord and Savior today. You know, and I know it's only through his grace and mercy that I'm here, that I continue to do this. And that's why I love coming out on this choir ministry. And I think that's why they asked me to be the choir director, because I had loved from the start to come out, because, like I said, I had never been in a church before. And now I get to go every week to a different church all over the area and see what God's doing in people's lives, you know. And you build fellowship and relationship in this program, like with these guys. These guys are my family, you know what I mean? Like, Mike did my intake. He's the guy that opened the door for me when I came walking in the program, you know. And there's just, and I've seen these guys, like, we all grow together. We all pull each other up. We all pray with each other. Like, it's truly a bonding experience. Like, you don't get it out where we came from, you know, in those places that we ended up. So it's truly a miracle. I'll be forever grateful for this program. So I'm going to leave you with the scripture. It's Lamentations. It's starting chapter 3, verse 19. And I've used this scripture since the first time I gave my testimony, and I'll just keep using it, you know. And it goes, it sums up my whole testimony. And it's, I remember my afflictions and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we were not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. I say to myself, therefore, the Lord is my portion. I will wait for him. I thank you very much, church. Mike, you want to talk about the sponsorships?
How you doing? Trophies, right? Trophies of God's grace and mercy, and that God's still doing miracles. Because the life that we live in addiction and running the streets, there's really no awards for that, but we're trophies of God's grace. And most of us, we were living to die when we were out on the streets, but now, and at a point we got to in our lives that we were dying to live, and we were reaching out for anything and everything to save us. And they call it Teen Challenge, and the doors are open because of people like yourselves, people in the community that sponsor students. And it's $1 a day, and you get this lovely book if you do a one-time $30 donation or a yearly donation. And they like to say if you drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee and all this, coffee's coffee. We all need coffee. And I like to say that change that's in your pocket at the end of the day, in your pocketbooks, in your car, in your ashtray, you could put it aside very easily. $1 a day could keep a student off the streets and drugs and alcohol. Someone did it for me, actually, in a church in Norwood. I sat there. We talked to her. I gave my testimony. Someone presented the program. She said, here's a check, $360. This is for you, your sponsorship. I came in broken 4 years ago. So if you want to sow a seed into the kingdom of God and help someone push through, come see us at the back table. Easy, $1 a day, whatever you can do, help someone get off the streets. And like I said, we get this lovely book. Let's see if I can do it without dropping it. It's got 50 years of miracles. This was New England Teen Challenge, 50th year. Started 58 years ago, now it's 50 years in New England. 58 years of miracles in Brockton and Boston. And this brings you all through from, what is it, from Canada, to Guatemala, to Brazil, to Pakistan, all over. It shows you all the different team challenges, that God's doing miracles, not just in New England, but all over the world. And it's just our way of saying thank you, a conversation piece. You could hold up the coffee table if your coffee table is on level. Just whatever. It's just our way of saying thank you. So if you'd like to help out or whatever, you can come see one of the guys in the white shirts and nice ties with some nice smiles and talk to them. I thank you for your time. And let me see. We have also have a little thing called a mailing list card. I stole Mike's show. But it's a mailing list card. We do various things in the community. Like, we were just in New York. A couple of us were in New York doing outreach called Hoop Challenge. We got Hoop Challenge coming up Wednesday through Friday with Rock the Block. Right here, see, my right, your left, is the mailing list part. Yes, they're going to call you from time to time, but it's a way of keeping in touch and seeing what's going on. We'll send you a newsletter. We're going to be in these schools talking to the kids. We're going to be doing choir here. We're going to be in this community doing an outreach. Just different things, different testimonies. You might see my lovely face, my before and after picture. You might see Walter's before and after picture with a little testimony. But it's just a way of keeping in touch. But right here is the most important thing on this side. It's a side for prayer. I know everyone's here is praying. Everyone needs a little bit more prayer. There's nothing wrong with a little bit more prayer. We have morning chapel and night chapel where we pray for these things. I've actually seen prayers where someone gave us a prayer card. My son's struggling on a choir. 6 months later, he walks in the doors because of power of prayer. And he got, you know what I mean? So it's testimony. Just a little bit more prayer, a little extra, you know, a little extra pick me up. But I thank you for your time. We do one more song, Mike. We're going to kick one more song for you guys. Just, if you want to sing along, help out, just thank you.